Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me in just a minute. But I wanted to first let you guys know that with Holy Week right around the corner, we wanted to remind you that we put together a list of resources for you and your kiddos to reflect on the glory and significance of Easter. And if Easter baskets are your thing, we rounded up a quick gift guide for kids of all ages. So you can find everything at risenmotherhood.com/Easter or at the link in our show notes. Okay, with that, let's get to the show. So there's this reel we both were laughing at about friendship that I feel like sums up friendship and motherhood. And it's like these two moms and they're talking back and forth and they are trying to plan a time to get together. And they just keep going back and forth. They're like, what about Thursday? What about next Friday? What about, you know, the 20th of next month? And every time they go back and forth, one of them is like, oh, but I have practice on that day. We're traveling on that day. There's a surgery on that day. Back and forth, back and forth. And eventually they find a date. Oh no, in the middle of this, one of them like gets distracted and doesn't text the other back for like, it's like 3 days.
A 3 day break. It's like, no big deal.
Right? Yeah, no big deal. Let's try to keep planning this. And then eventually they find a date on the calendar that works in 6 months. And the mom ends by saying something like, so I'll see you in 6 months as long as it's not raining, no one gets sick, and we don't forget or something like that. And you realize like even with all of this planning, like it could still fall through on the last minute. And I just really think that sums up what it feels like to try to get together with friends in this season. Sometimes it's like even if you desire it, even if you feel like you're moving heaven and earth, it is almost impossible to sync schedules. And then as soon as you do, someone gets sick.
It's true. Being a mom and having friends is very, very hard to do. I think that it's something that, you know, friendship just changes a lot over the course of not only of life, of course, but specifically in motherhood. And depending on the season that someone is in who's listening to this show, it can look very, very different. And so in some ways it's like, there's hope because the season can change and it can get a little easier to maintain friendships. But also it's kind of like, oh, but there's just like new challenges and varied issues that come up. Yet everyone wants friends. Everybody needs friends. It's how God created us to be. And so we want to have relationship with other people, but oh man, it can be hard.
As we are thinking about being whole women in Christ in this series, yeah, it's really important that we go to scripture and see how God designed us to live in community. I mean, there are so many verses about friends in scripture. You know, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, a brother is born for adversity. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. You know, there's iron sharpens iron. There's so many examples of the importance of great friends, specifically friends that are following God together and encouraging one another throughout the Bible. I mean, even, you know, Jesus was close friends with his disciples. He lived in community. And I think sometimes like, and I've been guilty of falling into this trap. I can feel like it's easier to be independent and it's easier to be a lone ranger. I think friendships feel risky. Friendships feel vulnerable. Friendships make logistics challenging. And it can be really hard to say, yes, this matters. And yet we see in the example of scripture how much it matters. And I know when I have made time for that anyway and invested in that anyway, even though it feels really, really challenging, I have seen so much reward and joy in that over the years.
Yeah, it is hard. There's like two sides to every friendship, right? There's you as the friend and then there's the other friend that you can't control. And I know that, yeah, for me, friendship really became real because it was kind of hard for me too. I don't know. I should back up. I feel like having friendships has always been fairly easy and it's actually getting harder for me. In a weird way. And yeah, I remember when we lived in the Chicago area and I had no family around, like none at all. And we went through some very, very hard seasons and just a lot of things where I needed people. I needed help. I remember at that time really understanding what it means whenever we talk about like that little picture of heaven, you know, that a community can be, because I didn't have the whole family where blood is thicker in the water and you're always there for each other. But I started to really understand what it looks like to have friends who are in the body of Christ that love you because you're a sister in Christ and that you're part of their family. And it was really incredible to get a front row picture of how the body can work. And I don't think I'd ever had that because I'd lived so close to family for so long that they were my support system. And so when that was stripped away, that was huge for me to help me understand not just like the gift of a friend to me, but also the way that I can be a friend to others, probably perhaps better than I had been before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really struggled with friendships over the years. I mean, this is just like, if we were having coffee, we could get into a whole like story about this and all the things that have contributed to it. But I have just really been humbled by how much people have loved me and reached out to me, even though I don't think I have always invested deeply in a lot of different relationships. And I think just the generous support of other people, even when they aren't family, even when they don't have to, has really blown me away. And, you know, even just in my faith and my thinking about things, it's just been so shaped, you know, when I've let other people in, you know, even with the risks. And so some of you that are listening may relate to my story or Laura's story, or you may have a completely different story. You might be in a season where you're like, I have moved to a new place and I don't even have one friend right now. I don't even have anyone that I can talk to. And we actually have a whole episode on that, episode 38. Woo, that's way back in the archives.
I think we did that whenever I was like moving to Chicago and like had no friends.
Oh,
and man. I'm like, here's how I'm going to try to make some friends.
You'll like this episode. And so we'll have that linked in the show notes mm-hmm. that you can listen to. And that episode is all about finding friends and how to do that. But, you know, today we kind of want to dive into maintaining friendships. You know, this whole series has been about like, okay, what are some things that change after motherhood? What are some things that you feel like you lose or you maybe can't focus on in the same way? Friendships being one of those things that changes. And so like, how can we now knowing that, getting through the other side of it, like reinvest in those things, remember the importance that they have to us as Christian women and see why these things are still worth the effort, even though it is sometimes like, see you in 6 months, hopefully.
or there's just brokenness, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something that I was saying earlier, friendship has always not been too hard for me. I feel like I've maintained a lot of friends and make friends kind of quickly, but yet as time has gone on in motherhood, I've seen friendships break and I've seen hardship and conflict. And so we want to talk about that a little bit, I think, today too, because that's a very real reality of being friends with people, anyone. So of course, though, let's start with ourselves. You know, the best thing that someone can do is be the friend that you want to have. And I think, you know, you were kind of hinting at this, Emily, and I feel this more and more as I think my life has gotten more full and I have less capacity to be what I would call a good friend. And, you know, I think that this can happen for two reasons. One is there's a capacity issue in motherhood. I think that's very real. But then there's also just an element of sometimes we're either afraid or we're unwilling to put in the energy that it takes to be a good friend. And yet, you know, the call of God's word is that we are to be good friends. We are to encourage one another. We are to build each other up. I think of John 15, 12 through 15. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And I think that this call, like the example that Christ shows of laying down his life for his friends, you know, that is kind of a hard call at times because we're so full with our own families and our own children's needs and just the work of the house and any outside of the homework that we do, it can feel like I don't have capacity to do that. And yet you and I both have just sat here saying, it's such a blessing when our friends have loved us when they don't owe us anything. And that's something that for all of us, no matter how you're wired, I think remembering that there are always ways that we can be good friends to people. And you may be really strong in one area and weak in another. And we don't want to like use that as an excuse to say, well, I'm not very good at cooking, so I'm never going to bring my friend a meal. But instead, kind of, I think we can lean into areas where maybe we are better gifted as a friend. Like for me, I would say I am more of an encourager. If someone has a dilemma they're working through or they want to talk or they want to process, like I'm going to be their girl. But I don't really bring meals to friends very well, I'll be honest, you know? And I've learned, well, I'm just going to send them a Chipotle gift card. Because like, I want to do something, but realistically, I can barely get dinner on the table for my family anymore. I actually do like to cook, but with how much I work and the dynamics of our family life, like that's not as feasible for me. And so I typically send a gift card, and it's something that I know that I can do where I've had to like think through, well, what's a way that I can love someone, even if it doesn't look exactly like is traditional church loving ways.
Yeah. It is good to ask, what can I do? Yeah. Versus thinking of all the things you can't do. I was just talking to someone yesterday, a friend of mine, and I was telling her, hey, there's this other friend I have who lost a family member, and I thought of her, and like days have gone by and I haven't done anything. And I just feel kind of like I should do, you know, like kind of processing all of this with her. And she reminded me, she's like, oh, you sent flowers when my grandma died, and I saw them at their funeral, and it really moved me. And she's like, I still have that card. And I'm like, really? I was worried that you'd never even see those flowers because there were so many flowers there. I was like, I didn't even know if that mattered. And she was like, it really mattered to me. It's not too late to send the flowers. And I was like, oh yeah, I can do that this week. Like I may not be able to, you know, go over there. Like I may not have 2 hours this week to go like process with her in person, but I can do something. And I've really had to be okay and content with like less than perfect in certain situations of like perfect would be, you know, not calling them, that kind of sounds like a nightmare, like calling and talking on the phone, but.
Oh, the phone. Nobody likes the phone anymore. Are you kidding? Voxer's where it's at.
Yeah, like maybe it's like going over in person. Like you can kind of imagine in your mind, like, yeah. Oh, this is the exact thing I would like to do for them. But like nothing is not the right answer either.
Right. You know? Right. Just in the same way that we need to reshape the ways that our friends can love us, which I think we're going to talk about, like we need to be willing. I think it's kind of that tension we have to hold, right? Which is, hey, my natural way of being a friend is like this. And you probably have some really good strengths of how a person is a good friend. But then also recognizing, well, my friend is loved by this. Or this is a way, like for me, if nobody brought me a meal, I don't want to say this because I feel like no one's going to bring me a meal anymore. But like, I'm pretty chill about, you know, I don't feel like people owe me meals when stuff happens because I'm just a pull up by the bootstraps, go. But when people have done that, I have been so touched and so loved and surprised by my response. And that has been good for me to remember because sometimes when someone needs a meal on the other end, I'm like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like I wouldn't need a meal. And yet I have to remind myself of like, okay, if it made that much of an impact on me, who's kind of like meals aren't that big of a deal. Imagine for somebody who's like, that is a big stressor in my life for these reasons. Like, and I don't know, it's a way for me to help frame myself of like, it's worth loving them because it does matter against my natural tendency to think this isn't making an impact.
Yeah. You know? Oh, so good. On the flip side of that, we wanted to talk a little bit about our expectations for friendships and how, especially as life gets busier, we almost have to be more flexible in what we imagine a friendship could be or should be. I mean, I know kind of the typical example of this is, hey, we've gone a really long time without talking to each other. And, you know, there can be this kind of sense of like, is there something going on between us? Or, you know, do we need to now spend a whole bunch of time repairing this friendship? And it's like, yeah, this is going to look different. And the new reality might be that we go 3 months without talking, but like what a blessing it would be if when we talk again, we can just pick up where we left off and there doesn't have to be any awkward apologizing and there doesn't have to be any like weird clear in the air, like assuming that they were mad at you or like we can all just be busy and like be thankful for the time that we have together. And I think that takes a lot of like graciousness and flexibility and believing the best to get through friendships in this season.
That's a word. I mean, I think that there are different women are going to have different capacities for friendship and different needs for it, right? Somebody who has lots of family nearby may not need friends as deeply as someone who is all alone without family. Or maybe somebody is just wired for 1 to 2 friends and they don't really need a huge circle. And another person is kind of like, oh, I like to have my different friends for all these different things. And that is what will absolutely torpedo a friendship is an expectation that one friend be all the things for you. Oof. And we have to get it in our heads that like we have to allow women themselves to be who they are. And sometimes a friendship is just not going to happen in a certain season. Emily is just nodding along. The lips even puckered up. Like,
bring it.
You can say amen. It's fine. No, I lost my train of thought. But I think that there is it's so important for us as women and moms to pull the expectations off and believe the best in one another. And unless there has been some words exchanged where it's like, hey, that hurt my feelings or I didn't love that moment, I think that we owe it to one another to go through the front door when things are hard and say, I didn't love this. That's hard. Okay. That's very hard. And we also owe it to our friends to believe the best and assume, you know, she's busy with her life. This doesn't mean all these hundreds of things I'm conjuring in my mind and I'm losing sleep over at night, but instead to believe the best in her and to keep reaching out, but also be gracious whenever maybe she doesn't respond to a text or she doesn't have time or capacity, and maybe even read the signs. And I think that at some point I'll be kind of like, okay, like the next, you know, the ball's in their court. I'll let them come back to me if they want to be my friend or they want to hang out. Like, I've texted a few times. We'll just leave it, you know? And if they want to hang, then they will. And if not, maybe it's just not the right season.
Yeah, that identity in Christ thing just comes up over and over and over and over and over again. Because at the end of the day, right, like if we have our identity in him and we are having a lot of those needs met, you know, from the Lord, and we are resting in him, yes, we still have needs for other people in our life and we have wants for that and we can long for that, but we don't have to put this pressure on our friends to accept us and love us and provide everything for us. And it's really hard, you know, to think that way. But I just think when we don't have a baseline expectation of what our friends do for us, then anything they do give us is something we can have great gratitude for and really truly enjoy and be blissfully surprised by. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, you brought me a coffee. That is so awesome. I was not expecting that, you know, or you brought me a meal. I was not expecting that. Or, hey, this friendship has blossomed into something that I wasn't expecting. And that's so exciting and wonderful. And it just kind of like flips the narrative a little bit versus like, here's my long list of things you should do for me as a friend versus like, I want to serve you as a friend. I want to love you as a friend, but I don't have a long laundry list of expectations for you. So whatever you do is great.
It's so true. And so often the expectations we have on our friends is kind of like, well, this is the friend that I am. And therefore I expect you to be this kind of friend back to me. And so, and that's where things get kind of messy. So it kind of leads us to our next point though, which is what happens when a friendship fails. And, you know, we want to talk about this because as we think about being whole in this series and just knowing, you know, with 10, 11 years of motherhood under Emily and I's belt, like we have seen times where friendships have changed. And I know a lot of that stuff happens in high school, happens in college. So of course, like lots of people have different failures at different times with friendships, but there's sort of a uniqueness, I think, of it happening in motherhood, especially if you've had a friend who you have done a lot of life with, or your kids have been raised together, or there are circles that are overlapping and for one reason or another hasn't worked. So of course you have the idea of location. We'll just get that out of the way right now. And I have tried to maintain a lot of my friendships in other cities where I've lived as a mom. And I will tell you what, it's basically impossible. There was a couple of friends that I'm like, I'm going to remain friends with them. And beyond like a Christmas card, it has become really, really hard. And I know if I see those women for some overlapping thing, maybe at a conference, we'll see each other, something like that. It is like hugs and high fives and, oh my gosh, how are you? But I'm so thankful that I haven't felt like there's this, oh, now we need to talk on the phone every day, or we need to, you know, send each other stuff or like be at each other's events. And there's kind of that awkwardness that goes on where you start to realize like, oh, that's not going to work because we're just, our lives are here. You know, I can't have a friend 6 hours away. And some people, I want to say, are able to maintain that. There are some people who are gifted and there's reasons why they can maintain that. But in general, if you can't be friends with people in faraway locations. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a too big of a blanket statement. Am I doing that?
I think it's really hard. I think especially as you get busy, and maybe another sort of figurative way that people change locations is, you know, they change theologically change their lifestyle or they change their values in such a way that makes your lives like quite different to where it's really hard to communicate with each other anymore. It's really hard to be on the same page because you don't really understand where that friend is coming from anymore. And maybe you can respect each other, you can love each other as sisters in Christ, but like in terms of how you're orienting your families, it's really quite different. Or, you know, logistically on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you know, we've talked through this before a little bit of like, hey, if you are a full-time working mom and you have a friend who's a stay-at-home mom, like your schedules may not overlap the same way they did before. If you are a mom who has kids in school full time all day, every day, and then you have a friend who homeschools her kids, like your actual schedules and activities may not overlap the same way that they did before. The things you have in common may not be there. Maybe your friend moves to a different church or something like that. And again, it's not like you can still love her. You can still respect her. You can still be great sisters in Christ and be like, I have no ill will, but like we don't cross paths anymore. Exactly. Our circles don't overlap anymore. And I think that's something, Laura, you and I have noticed just in kind of this school season and the activity season that we're in now. It's like I almost have to invest in friendships with people I naturally cross paths with on a frequent basis. It is so hard to kind of like maintain a deep friendship with someone that I just don't see them naturally ever. And yet there are all kinds of women that I'm like, I see you in the pickup line. I see you at every practice. I see you at the swimming pool. I see you everywhere. Like there could be a friendship here. And so I think we have to like look for that and be honest that it's okay for friends to change from season to season. And if we're not putting all the pressure on our friend to be all things for us, then things can come and go without there being deep devastation, even if there is a little bit of sorrow or a pang of loss.
Yeah, I think you can have great chemistry with someone. And I know that I've had a few friends where I'm like, man, I love her. But our circles don't cross.
Yeah.
They don't overlap. To see one another is like moving heaven and earth. It really is like that meme you shared at the beginning, or that reel you shared at the beginning, where it's like, see you in 6 months. And almost that causes like this unnecessary guilt for me, because I'm like, oh, I'm not seeing her enough. I'm not spending enough time with her. I'm not doing the things that I should do. And I think with many of those friends, as we've just sort of accepted that like, hey, we're going to see each other at this one thing and be thankful for that time, but not take on pressure. Like, let's go on a walk. Let's go do this. It's like, I don't have capacity for that. And I've been so thankful because many of those friends who I've sought or I've felt chemistry with are allow me to kind of live my life and they live theirs. And we're just thankful for whenever things do overlap. But I think you're right when you started talking about sometimes maybe you're even in close location with someone, but their theology changes, their views on things. I mean, these days, political views, even if you have kind of similar theology, your political views can even be wildly different in some ways. You know, even with healthcare and the way we raise our kids, and you can be very similar theologically or go to the same church, but have very different contrasting views on how that plays out in your daily life. And with certain personalities and certain people, sometimes that becomes just a really difficult relationship to be in, where one or the other of you is feeling pressure to conform or to make the other happy, or there's conflict that comes in. And I think that that is really painful. That's a lot of times when friendships begin to fail. A lot of times I find that it is due to like a misunderstanding on one party of interpreting something, or a wrong expectation on behalf of one party. And then the other party is kind of like, oh, I've got to respond to this. And that can be really hard. I think there are a few things we can do when we feel like a friendship isn't healthy or isn't right. And of course, the first thing is to just spend time praying. And that is not a pat answer. You should be on your knees about that, especially if like that person is still in your circles or you're trying to wait. You can't just like move away, you know, like you've got to figure out a way to coexist.
Yeah, I think alongside, you know, prayer with God's guidance, even we can start to see like maybe where we do have those different convictions and see maybe how things have changed over the years and why we might need to move into a different season with new friends. There is sometimes a difficult conversation that might need to happen. And a lot of times, like, again, if we've prayed, hopefully we're coming with humility and we're coming with questions and it's not something like you're doing this wrong and I'm, you know, whatever it is, like, it's just, hey, we're in different seasons now. This is difficult. I think you can always get, you know, get your husband's insight, get the insight of wise mentors. And I think the other thing that's really important in the midst of all of this that, you know, we're probably all susceptible to falling into is gossip. And I think there's like that stereotypical form of gossip that we typically think of like, did you hear that Susan did so-and-so blah, blah, or Susan did this or that thing, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, I actually think that most gossip doesn't sound like that. And
right.
It doesn't come with a big red flag. It is something that is a lot more subtle and honestly a lot more sinister. And when you are sitting around with your group of friends and you hear yourself talking about this person over and over again, and you're saying things that throw a shadow on someone's reputation that isn't deserved and like isn't that person's business, like you are engaging in kind of like some gossip or manipulation or trying to get friends on your side as this other friendship dissolves. Like, I think there is a healthy way to go about putting some distance with a friend that doesn't turn a bunch of other people against them. So, and it's really difficult. It's like, well, then how do I get advice about them? And there's probably ways to do that. That I'm sure there are ways to do that without gossiping. Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's selecting who you speak with. You know, there's a big difference between talking to a room of 5-10 people and just like telling the story versus, hey, can I meet with you? Because I want to talk about this relationship that I would like help with. And I always remind myself that like, if I am feeling tempted to talk about this person in a way that tarnishes their character, they are probably feeling that way about me.
Yeah.
And I do not want to be spoken about in that way. And so that helps remind me of just sort of the compassion for myself gives me compassion for others, whatever mind tricks you need to do. But as you process through kind of the failing of a relationship, it's probably a slow fade and a slow recognition. I mean, there could be a blow up, but I have found that it's very important to first come to that person and be direct, to go through the front door and say, hey, I feel like we're off. I feel like we're weird. Can we talk? You know, just having that direct. And for me, I feel like if you can get and have that conversation with that person, and maybe it becomes very apparent in that conversation that you cannot see eye to eye, then that's probably a time to be able to set that down. And you'll have a good pulse on it. You know, I think there's a difference between I want this to work and this will work. And you can walk away from those kind of conversations, I think, knowing which one that is. And then that's where I kind of have gone to, okay, the ball's in their court. Like, I feel like I've done everything I can. I've apologized for things, I didn't even, you know, any possible things. And then you just leave it in the Lord's hands and allow that to be what it is. And remember that you didn't marry that person. You're not in covenant together. And I think that's been really key for me, that like, I am not required to have this friend just because I'm a Christian woman. You know, because I kind of have felt like in different friendships that have not gone well or something's happened. I sound like I'm just like torpedoing relationships everywhere, but this has happened more that I've had to learn to be able to say, like, I kind of put pressure on myself that, well, I'm a Christian. And so I need to be at peace with all. You know, and I need to have everybody believe that I have good character and that no one's speaking bad about me because I want that reputation. And it was a genuine, not like a prideful way, but like of just wanting to represent Christ well. And knowing I'd failed, knowing I'd messed up, I was not perfect in every relationship. But I think there's something about recognizing that that's kind of a reality of life after the fall. And you're not everyone's going to like you and not everyone's going to understand you. And you have to kind of get used to allowing it, to grieving it, and then learning to move on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to kind of spin a positive light on things.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. We're just like going deep down in all the things today. You know, it's helpful to kind of identify one or two friendships in your life with women that you're like, I want to go deeper with this person because this person brings out Christ-like attributes in me and helps me make wise choices as a woman of God. It's interesting because, you know, Laura and I, you know, get a chance to, I think, be around and interact with like a lot of different women because of Risen Motherhood and our ministry roles, a lot of different women over the years, and even in like church environments. And I'm always amazed at how there are some women that after I've spent time talking with them, I want to go read my Bible. Mm-hmm. I want to go deeper with the Lord.
Who's Jesus?
He just
drips from them.
They just like you're done hanging out with them and you're thinking about how you want to grow with God. And they leave you feeling encouraged and not like kind of that, oh, I just patted you on the back, encouraged, like encouraged in a deep spiritual way. And I just think, man, first of all, I want to be like that to people. And second of all, like those are the type of women that I want to invest deeply with. And there's also women that you come up to or interact with and like you leave and you feel this like tumultuous, you feel like nauseous, like you feel scared about life. Mm. You leave with anxiety. You leave feeling like you need to Google, you need to change your whole motherhood. You need to like reevaluate all your decisions. And it's like, I don't know that like Christ in someone should make you feel that way. Like, and so is that a healthy person that you need to be going deeper with. Might be an acquaintance, might be someone that you enjoy, but like might not be the woman that you want speaking into your life and into your motherhood and into your marriage. Yeah. So find those women, pray that God would bring you those women. And when you find them, like those are the, like bring them the meals. Send them all the gift cards, send them all the flowers.
That's funny.
Be BFFs with that person.
Yep. Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, this was some hard stuff.
We really got into this topic.
We did. And obviously it's very real for both of us. And we recognize that for all of you, friendship is a big topic. Like it's not something small in everyone's life. And I know that we have a God-given design for a relationship, and yet it is messy and hard. And so just know over time, your friendships are going to change, and we have to get really comfortable with that. But also remember, your friends don't define you and they don't get to tell you who to be. I think that's huge. You know, really only Christ does that. And that's where this whole series comes from, is that we just remember our identity in Christ as we interact with these women. And so today, maybe go bring a friend a meal or get them a Chipotle gift card, whichever one, float your boat and have a conversation and hang out, but also believe the best in them no matter where they're at.
Hi, my name is Holly Lee, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because I am a mom of three young children. I homeschool, I work in an unconventional way as an author and blogger, and I need daily to be reminded of the gospel. I see the gospel through scripture, but it's just really encouraging to my faith to have other women who are able to see their work as mothers, as wives, as friends, co-workers, whatever that might be, to see that through the lens of scripture and to be reminded of that over and over again. Our work is sometimes mundane, but that's our station in life, and God has given us so much in that station, and we see where He meets us in that station. And so I'm part of this community because I need to be encouraged on the daily, and I need to also see how my work relates to the gospel and how God meets me in my place.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.